This is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming. And today we're here with a trainer from Poland, and Matosz.
Yeah.
Here we go. Gajeszczak.
Amazing. You're the first one who got it correctly, basically.
That was close, mate.
All right.
So why don't you introduce yourself for us?
Well, my name's Mateusz Grzesiak, and I represent Richard and you in Poland.
And what is the name of your institute?
Grupa Mateusz Grzesiak.
Very good. That's I'm glad you said that.
Thank you. It's a tongue breaker, I know.
How long has the institute been around?
Well, it's basically a new thing because I just started like half a year ago, so it hasn't been long. However, I've been pretty long into education, I must say. I've been teaching people for more than 10 years, so it's been quite a while already.
Mm-hmm. And how did you first find out about NLP?
Well, I once met a therapist who's very famous in Poland, and during one conversation, which took us like maybe 15 minutes, he was able to destroy all the useless and shitty beliefs I would have. And then I would ask him, how did you do that? And he only spelled these three letters, like NLP, go and try that. And since I've always been interested in personal development, I started my first practitioner course. I loved it already, and during a year, from first practitioner, I went to trainer's level and started teaching that.
Wow. And so this is something fairly new in your country. There's not a lot of NLP trainers there.
Well, not all of them work with you. We've got quite a few. I'm the only one, and to be honest, I think it's just starting to be popular. Obviously, we got to know about this, I think, like 5-10 years ago for the first time. So NLP generally is a fairly new thing in many countries, and Poland is definitely one of them, I believe. Right? It's growing in popularity, though, I must say. There are more and more people who are enrolling in seminars, and you know, more companies who get to realize this is the best way of learning and making business. More and more students who want to learn faster and more effectively. And obviously, even psychotherapists are more and more interested in better methods and more efficient methods of solving clients' problems. That's why I guess that NLP very soon is going to become even more and more and more popular.
So being a young and dynamic institute, what are some of the things ahead for you? What would you like to see your institute become?
All right. I've got a very big plan when it comes to NLP in my country. I'd love many techniques stemming from NLP to be introduced to schools so that people in everyday communication don't make the most basic and primitive mistakes of saying things like don't be stressed and stuff like that, because still NLP, first, it costs a lot and not everybody can afford that, and I do sincerely hope that everybody will be able to take advantage of it and use it in everyday communication. Of course, I want to popularize NLP, change that sort of view that still many people who don't know NLP too much have in Poland, because they think it's manipulative and, you know, you can do stuff with people's brains without their knowledge and blah blah blah, just because they don't know about this. So I want to change the view and the perspective in which people perceive it, and simply want to show them that this is probably nowadays one of the easiest and the best methods and models to communicate, have fun, enjoy life, and achieve your outcomes the way you really desire and dream about them.
You're here at a neurohypnotic repatterning seminar,
yeah.
So it's great to see that the trainers that you know come back and want to still learn things and keep current and evolve themselves as well.
Yeah, like as Richard says, there's either progress or regress. That's why this year only I've been on 7 seminars with him. I do believe that there's always something new to learn, and I can always get better. That's why I think I will never stop. This is just the beginning, so I'm just warming up.
Do you have a favorite NLP seminar that you like to attend?
Yeah, I love Charisma Enhancement in Florida, just because of public presentations and just because it's so full of life, it's so vibrant, and you get to do exercise which really truly work. Once you're on the stage in the middle of, you know, 100 people and everybody looks at them, you really need to say something and you really need to perform well. And this is the moment where I get a kick and I say, all right, now I'm really motivated, let's do that.
It's great. Do you have any particular funny situation that you've come across as an NLP trainer?
Oh yeah, that was on my last master prac, and I realized that I believe that the master practitioner needs to be able to solve many kinds of problems, and to use, not to use NLP, but to be more of an NLP person. So that comes to identity level. That's why we started bringing people with problems who were strange on our seminar. One of them was a catatonic who had been in a wheelchair for 3 years. And I was there with a friend of mine, with this very good psychotherapist, basically the only one who's not the rapist, but the one who really knows what he's doing. And we put the catatonic in front of the whole group, and we started chatting about the newest and most modern methods of psychotherapy. We had a big hammer like this, and the nails this long, and we started chatting of what you're supposed to do with the nails, and when you put them in someone's foot, then suddenly they become very motivated. Of course, it was all bullshit, but with my peripheral vision, I was observing the guy, and I think he, after like 5 or 10 minutes of our chat, he started to shiver a bit because he realized what we were going to do. And then I simply started, you know, to put nails close to his feet, and he was already like trembling, and I knew that in a second he was going to go out. We had 2 doctors, 2 psychiatrists who were observing the whole scene. These were the ones who were obviously absolutely sure and positive that nothing could be done about him. But, you know, then I took the hammer and I was just going to hit the nail. Then the guy jumps out and starts swearing and is very angry and rushes with adrenaline and has all these tubes and stuff. You know, obviously, you can imagine the situation. All the students go like, "Bah!" And it does work. The psychiatrists are looking at us, and I loved it. One of them goes, "It's impossible." And there's the whole situation taking place. Yeah. Obviously, you know, it was too much for him because they spent like 3 hours feeding him with some big pills or whatever, you know, and the guy had no life, no nothing, just because he had some weird accident. I didn't even know the root causes of the problem.
Right.
Just that, you know, and we used a simple technique basically to motivate him, right? So I just took it from Richard's seminar and I did the same thing, and it does work. It's such a simple thing. Right? It shows you that you really don't need to think a lot about doing stuff, because it comes down to is simplicity and how effective it can be.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you find is one of the biggest challenges as an NLP trainer?
To popularize NLP, to make it more widespread in the world, to make sure that more and more people use it. I think it's still not used by as many people as I wish it was. So I do hope that our job, our mission, our aim here is to make it more popular so that everybody, or at least more and more people, use it, especially in professions like being a teacher, being a doctor, being an educator, and being a parent. I know you cannot call it a profession, but I do believe that it's one of the most responsible positions you might ever have in life, to educate and raise your child in such a way that they become a better part of society and just make the world happier. Sooner or later, it comes down to happiness of everyone. And how we make happiness? Well, we communicate. That's how it goes. That's why I believe that when NLP becomes more widespread and more popular in the world, then it's going to just be better for all of us.
I agree, absolutely. Do you have a particular favorite phrase that Richard has either said in a book or in a seminar that kind of sticks with you?
There is one. It has become part of my internal dialogue now when I talk to myself, and like a life's motto, so to call it. It's, am I having fun yet? And how much pleasure can I stand? That's it. That's what I ask my students, and that's what I ask myself. Because that's what it is. It's about constant and permanent development and becoming better all the time. Even when you're really becoming good, there is always a way to become better and better and better. So when I ask myself the question, I just have more fun, I enjoy life more, I earn more money. That's just how it goes.
That's right. And that's something you want to be able to give to others as well.
Oh yeah, you bet. Because our job as teachers is to make sure that they are happy and that they change their lives.
Yeah.
I do believe I'm only a facilitator on the way to their success. I'm only a helper. It's some people, some teachers, and some of them even big trainers, you know, the ones who make you walk on fires and stuff, they take all the success and anchor it to them. And this is not the way to do it, because client is the person who trusts you, who pays you a lot of money, and who comes there because they truly want to be better. And we owe them that. As teachers, we owe them, and we should be absolutely persevere. We should never stop and make sure that if they are not smiling enough we're going to get them, kick their asses, and say, go for it, because that's what you've come here for.
Well said.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Richard. He just never gives up.
That's exactly how it goes.
He would never give up on anyone. He's tenacious as hell.
Yeah, that what inspired me, because that's how you make your success ratio 100%. You will never give up. That's it, you know. You are never satisfied with half of something you've achieved. You need to be absolutely persevere and never stop. That's what I believe when it comes to personal development, when it comes to loving your wife, when it comes to having sex, when it comes to having fun. There's always more to get.
Great. What kind of services does your institute offer? What do you do?
All right, so we do typical practitioner and master practitioner courses.
Uh-huh.
We do hypnosis seminars, and we release many products also, like rapid trance inductions and so on. Very often, at least once a month, we make a one-day seminar. This is for people who either cannot afford coming to a week course or simply they have no time, during which we show the newest things from NLP world. So one of the reasons I come here is to get the newest stuff, because Richard has just developed that, and it's like from the bakery, you know, you take bread and it's I just bring it to Poland, I teach it to people and they become better and so on, right? Also, on a monthly basis, I publish a newsletter which is much more just like John's, informative than, you know, persuasive or stuff like that. So we just teach people also in this way so that more and more get involved in NLP and use it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you release products, are these CDs? Or
these are DVDs.
DVDs.
Yeah, these are DVDs. So these are movies and some audio tapes. Also, I wrote 3 books, which I've published, so
really? Yeah,
that's how it goes.
And what are those books?
Well, this is about teaching, right? And this is about beliefs, how to change them, and which beliefs are useful and you can install them.
So if someone was interested in any of these products, where would they go find out about them?
They can find about them on my website, which is www.mateuszgrzesiak.com. Let me spell it, it's going to be easier. www.mateuszgrzesiak.com.
Okay, and we will have the link up as well where they found this interview.
Thank you, I
appreciate
that. I appreciate.
That's great. So you sell these products online then?
Yeah, we do sell them as well.
Great.
So that more people, you know, can get an opinion.
Are they in Polish?
Yeah, they are in Polish.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So do you have any plans for releasing things in other languages?
Definitely, I'm going to release them in other languages too.
Yeah.
It's so funny, but there's so much going on that, you know, there's. Mm-hmm. I come to a new seminar, there's tons of ideas popping into my mind, and they're like, hey, I was supposed to do that, but there's this new thing which I'm absolutely passionate about, and I've got millions of ideas. Lately I've been, because my background when it comes to teaching has been in languages, I speak many languages myself, like 6 fluently, and basically I also started using NLP to build models how to teach languages, foreign languages.
Oh, great.
For instance, it takes me around a week to teach someone who speaks Spanish English. And that's very little time, and obviously it's controversial, and people go, no, it's impossible. It's impossible, well, that's what someone is always going to say, and I also believe that things can be done faster and easier and so on. NLP offers you different kinds of models and attitudes which you can install, implement, and use. If a child which doesn't have a conscious mind yet can learn a language during 2 years, I believe a human being who does think can do it even faster if uses good and proper methods.
So you can teach English as a second language in 1 week.
Yeah,
that is fabulous.
I can do that for sure. Think about
this. Fabulous.
For instance, if you consider Spanish and English, things like vocabulario or marvelous, maravilloso, and stuff like that, mm-hmm. honesto, are absolutely similar. I don't believe I'm teaching a new language. I'm just making adjustments in what they already know so that they can understand more and realizar that they simply know more. That's how it goes. So it doesn't take that much. You know, it takes years for some teachers to teach a language, and it's just stupid. That's what I think it is, because they don't realize that when language stems from one family, it just a differentiation, a variation of what already exists.
And you take it down into such small pieces, exactly, and spread it apart, so you no longer get the connection.
Obviously, and they teach also useless things, like, for instance, what relative clauses and stuff like that. Who needs that, for God's sake? It's like, you know, also they have the attitude of teaching, it's like teaching sex from a book. I mean, let's go. It's better to practice that and know it, right? You know, so first thing when it comes to these languages, I just destroyed useless beliefs when it comes to languages, because people have plenty, you know, stemming from schools, unfortunately. And secondly, I constructed a model, which is an application of NLP, that's what it basically is, which I use to make them learn a foreign language. Not too many realize and know that on average basis, we use about 1,000 words in everyday communication. Of course, legal vocabulary or medical vocabulary, that's jargon, that's a totally different thing. But to communicate in every, you know, possible simple situation like we're doing right now, you need around 1,000 words, which are the most popular and they're mostly repeated. So I take these words, I teach them during a few days, and they can understand movies, they can read books, not about bioengineering, but who needs that? You know, probably if you take a native speaker and you make them read about things they don't know, they're not going to understand it even, right? So
that's great.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah, at least they have, you know, access to English-speaking world, which has more materials, which has more books, which has better stuff. Things like NLP, for instance, basically it's in English. Most of it is in English. So that's another thing we do in our institute. We also publish Richard's book in Polish. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I do sincerely hope is going to make NLP more popular, so that people who don't know the language can have access to knowledge and skills.
Right. Very good. As a new NLP trainer,
yeah,
what advice would you give to someone who is interested in becoming an NLP trainer, might be thinking about it?
All right. Go for the best people. That's absolutely for sure. If you want to become an NLP trainer, you should, and I'm sure you even want to when you realize, learn from Richard, John, and the best trainers that there are in the world. Just because if you want to become good, you should learn from the best. That's what I believe it is. From the creators, not from copies of creators, but from the creator themselves. So learn, and never stop, and there's always more you can get. That's just how it goes. And remember, sooner or later, it comes down to what you know and how you use it. So just go for it. That's what I believe.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
What is your biggest joy in being an NLP trainer and working with people? What is it? I mean, obviously we do it to make a living,
yeah,
as well. We have bills to pay and things.
Yeah.
But beyond that, what is the biggest joy that you get out of being an NLP trainer?
When there's a client who leaves my office and I can see the smile of satisfaction and congruent look that they have changed and they will change their lives, there's nothing better than this. This is a reward. This is aim of my life. This is my mission. And this is why sometimes I get to cry when this happens. This is just, I believe that when it comes to money, when you're an expert, you're always going to have many clients who will pay for your expertise, because sooner or later, everybody will choose quality, not the price. If you do it for people, if you remember that the client is the most important person, then they will be able and ready to pay you a lot of money for that. That's why money and to pay bills, it's always sort of a secondary or whatever gain. Firstly, I do it for people because they trust me, and I believe that as a person who knows a lot about communication, about NLP, about influence and psychology of success, I'm responsible for what happens, and I do feel responsible for what my clients achieve. That's why when I see the smile of satisfaction, or I get an email from them which says, thank you, I stopped smoking, thank you, I'm not on drugs anymore, thank you, my wife is more happy, thank you, I'm enjoying life more, that's the best reward I can ever have. And trust me, I wouldn't have to be paid for this if it came down to these things. That's what it's all about to me. Satisfaction of my clients, that's the guarantee that I'm doing my job right, that I'm getting a better karma, and that's what I get.
That's great. I want to thank you so much, Matush.
Great.
You are a very exciting and dynamic new trainer, and we're always looking to really tap into those resources. I hope all the trainers that we're interviewing in this series can find each other and get together and share some great stories and resources.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about, making everyone's life better.
Yeah, that's what I believe it comes down to.
Thank you very much
for taking the time. My pleasure.
And this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming. And stay tuned. Watch for the websites for when the next trainer from around the world interviews on.